the final days at Denver's old Stapleton Airport, a crowded United flight was canceled. Wouldn't that be something today, having a flight canceled? No flights are getting canceled. They're all open, guys. If you want to fly, now's the time. It's like 10 bucks to fly. A single agent was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the desk, slapped his ticket down on the counter, and said, "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class." The agent replied, "I'm sorry, sir. I'll be happy to help you, but I've got to help these folks first. I'm sure we'll be able to work something out." Without hesitating, the passenger, being unimpressed, asked loudly so that the passengers behind him could hear, "Do you have any idea who I am?" The gate agent just smiled and grabbed her public address microphone. "May I have your attention, please?" she began, her voice bellowing throughout the terminal. "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help find his identity, please come to gate 17. With the folks behind him in line laughing hysterically, the man glared at the United agent and gritted his teeth. The agent simply smiled and said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you'll have to stand in line." The man retreated as the people in the terminal applauded loudly. Although the flight was canceled and people were late, they were no longer angry at United. See, this is a concept that often gets misapplied and misunderstood by entitlement. But there is a reality that many people are hyper aware of, and that is the fact that there is a lot of weight in identity. There's a lot of weight in the name that you carry. There's a lot of weight in who it is that you are. For most people, letting a stranger into your house, somebody that you have no idea who they are, it's almost an immediate no way Jose. Even if their name's not Jose, quite frankly, you don't care. You don't want them coming into your house. But if your name's, you know, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, suddenly doors start opening. People are inviting you to come in for dinner. People want to put out the nice china for you because the name carries weight. The identity that somebody has, who it is, what it is that that name represents, carries a lot of weight in how people respond and how people interact with them. Identity matters. It's really awesome is how the Lord works, and all the songs that we're doing today is it's all reinforcing our identity in Christ. All joking aside from the "do you know who I am" people, I have a question for you, and it's our sermon title. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? We often like to talk about things that we identify with. It's sort of the banner that we like to hold up. It doesn't take me very long to discover what it is that somebody is passionate about, what it is that gives them drive in their life. What it is that gets them excited. It's often the thing for me, it's kind of like a game when I meet somebody new. What is it that you like to talk about? You bring up that one subject and suddenly you just see the light go off and you're like, ah! And suddenly they become a little bit more interactive with you. It's often just that banner that we put on display for all to see. See, back in college, I had a few identities that were following me. Freshman year of college, my roommate and I bought roughly $200 in Papa John's pizza for our whole dorm. Just because. In reality, it was $400, but they had a 50% off coupon code, so we only spent $200 on getting a ton of pizza for the entire dorm, kind of had our own thing, and for years to follow, we were identified as the pizza guys. Now, that identity carried a lot of weight, especially for him, because he was the one that was more vocal about, like, "Yeah, I bought it." I was like, "Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Fine, take that." And so he became an RA, and he was an RA consecutively for several years, and a lot of the resident directors at GCU knew him as the pizza guy. So the same for me, it allowed me to have better and sustained relationships with people just as I got to interact with them. It was a way for me to meet a lot of people and a way just for me to start building up on that. And so I was known as the pizza guy. I was also a shuttle driver on campus. I would drive golf carts around to help bring people from parking garages to their buildings or classes or dorms, so on and so forth. Doing this, I got to listen to a lot of music and talk with people all day. I got to know a lot of people, I got to learn a lot of names, and so I got to have a lot of relationships built up. All of that followed me to being called the golf cart guy. Have you noticed something with how college kids give nicknames, by the way? Hey, that guy got us a pizza. He's the pizza guy. That guy drives golf carts. He's the golf cart guy. Very clever nicknames. Very clever. A lot of nicknames I'd been given based upon things that I had done. While I had done these things, my identity was and is founded upon something else. Being that I am in Christ, I am no longer my own. I no longer belong to me. I belong to Christ, and my identity is in Him. There's a reality that should be very popular among believers today, but often isn't for pride reasons. That is that it really doesn't matter who other people say that you are. It does not matter who other people say that you are. What matters is who God says that you are. It is our pride that makes us think I have to establish myself and let other people think that I'm something special. But when it comes to the weight of eternity, it is completely irrelevant what other people think that you are. They could think you're dumb. They could think that you're broke. It doesn't matter. What matters is your identity in Christ. And see, we have misunderstood where identity comes from. Identity does not come from what it is that we do. Identity does not come from what other people put on us. Identity comes from the Lord. So for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, do you know who you are? Point number one, we're going to be going in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. You are new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation. You are a new creation. You're not the same person you were before Christ. Just look at your life. Examine your life before Christ and look at your life after Christ. You're no longer delighting in the same things that you did. When you wake up in the morning, do you delight in your sin? Do you wake up, I cannot wait to disappoint the Lord today? No, we wake up warriors ready. We're like, God, yes and amen to your promises. I am hungry for you. I want to walk in your righteousness. Why? Because your heart has been purified. You don't delight in your sin. When you find that you have stumbled into sin, you regret that you've sinned because your heart's been purified by the Lord. You're a new creation. The old you, sin came and you're like, yes, please. Now sin comes and you're like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to live the way that I used to live anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. Here's another way to put it. You are a saint now. You are a saint. You are no longer a sinner, but you are a saint. See, we have this weird concept that even as believers in the church, this is what I had been taught to say, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. This is a wrong identity. I was a sinner in need of a Savior, but then the Savior came and saved, and now I'm a saint that was saved by grace. My identity has been changed. If you're still a sinner in need of a Savior, then you need to get born again. You need to have your life transformed. You need to become a new creation. Sinner is the identity of the old. I could already hear the rebuttals, but Zach, I still sin. You're not a sinner because you have sinned any more than you are made righteous because you have done a good deed. If messing up once automatically declares you a sinner, then one act of righteousness automatically makes you righteous. We know we aren't made righteous by merit, so why do we believe that the opposite is true? See, because we've fallen to think that it is our actions, it is our merit that determines our identity rather than God. When will we as the church stop trying to prove our own righteousness to God and start trusting the faithfulness of God when He says you are new? Will we believe God? Will we have faith in God when He declares you are new? Or are we going to say, I'm sorry, God, I messed up and I feel like a sinner. You're wrong. Because when we're saying, while I am a new creation, that I am still a sinner, we are saying, God, you are wrong. You have not made me new. But we have to learn. We have to have our minds renewed. See, our whole lives we lived in the way of the old. Now we've been made new, and we have to learn what that's like. Paul further explains this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You hear that, church? You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You are new, and so now it's time to act as you are new. Take off the old man. No longer be who it was that you once were. Take that fact that you no longer delight in your sin and walk in purity. How can a young man cleanse his way? Take heed according to your word, talked about in Psalm 119. There's business to take care of in being new. And now that you are a new creation, stop with the old. It's passed away. It's dead. It's done. You're free. You're free. Do away with the things of the flesh. Point number two, you are reconciled. We're just establishing identity here. You are reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You are reconciled to God. There's a story of a young boy. He grew up in a good home with a good family. His family knew the Lord and were growing in their faith. He was a part of a good church and believed he had a good relationship with the Lord. Very quickly, as it tends to happen in life, his life weighed down on this boy, and patterns of rebellion to his family and the Lord began to emerge. He felt disconnected with his family. He was separated from just about everyone at his school, and he felt hated by his siblings. Come to his junior high school, this young boy was lost in loneliness, was filled with rage and full of hate. He couldn't stand being mocked everywhere he went. Every night he would weep himself to sleep, asking God why and begging for the hurt and pain to stop. Eventually, contemplations of suicide even ran through this young boy's mind to escape the pain. For the fear of hell and concern that the pain would then only increase, this boy slumped to his floor, wept more and more, knowing he couldn't do it. Bitterness and contempt toward those around him flooded his heart, and he knew something needed to change for the misery to cease. Outwardly, it had seemed like things were going well. However, inwardly, that fire burnt with volcanic-like ferocity. He had delved deep into a life of sin, deep into lust, heart filled with rage, harboring bitterness and unforgiveness, being a man of hate. A few years later, the young lad went to a winter retreat with his youth group. He went hoping to maybe make a friend or have someone not hate him. Yet he went up with bridges burned, feelings hurt, and walking seemingly alone. Being that he grew up in church, he knew the lingo to say and the actions to follow for it to look like all was well. Whereas everyone might have been convinced that this kid was doing great, both this kid and God were not fooled. Halfway through the camp, the speaker started to talk about the power of God and his ability to transform lives. He had the attention of the young boy, and very quickly that boy knew things had to change. At the end of the sermon was a time of prayer where kids all around were surrendering and crying out to the Lord. This kid joined in as his family, who were chaperoning, beckoned him to come and pray together. Throughout the prayer, The words of scripture that were shared kept cycling and cycling and cycling through this young man's mind. Thoughts going a million miles a minute, the remembering of pain and hurt and suffering, a desperate life clinging to itself as if something were dying. Letting out a breath, the boy dropped to his knees and cried out to the Lord. And immediately, all of that rage, all of that contempt and sorrow disappeared. After several minutes of laying everything out before the Lord and confessing his sin, he arose. He arose a new man. The things that clouded his mind before were gone. His anger, gone. His sorrow, gone. His lust, no longer delighted in, gone. His unforgiveness, forgiven. His relationship with God, reconciled. He dropped to his knees a sinner, and he rose a saint. That young man was me. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I previously walked as an enemy of God. I previously walked as an enemy to the throne of God, to the kingdom of God. And so did every single one of you. Every single person. There is not one exception. There is not one exception. We have all walked as enemies against the Lord. But we've been made reconciled. We are now reconciled to God. By the grace of God and the grace of God alone do we now stand forgiven, having our identity transformed as new creations, being reconciled to God. And now that we are reconciled, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so you've heard it several times this morning already, ladies and gentlemen, and you're going to hear it again. Point number three, you are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Being that you are in Christ, you now carry the banner of the Lord. You represent the Lord. You represent the kingdom of God. You represent the King. And you're more than just a messenger. You're more than just a messenger because you're an active part of this kingdom. I'm going to give you guys a bit of a responsibility check in this because it is a big task. It's a big identity to carry, being an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Did you know that as a Christian, people are watching you? Especially when they know that you are a believer, they're watching you like a hawk. The world is watching the church, and the world cannot wait to see the church fall. The world is hungry to see the church fall. Why? Because we're enemies now of the world. We're reconciled to God. We've changed side. The world sees us as traitors. And the world is the enemy's territory. The enemy doesn't just like, oh yeah, I'll just let the church be the church. No, the enemy's actively warring against us, and we're actively warring back. And so the world is watching you. Therefore, we have to be all the more diligent to stand firm and be reconciled to God. Your role as an ambassador is not simply just to be out in the world. It's to know the kingdom that you represent. It's to know the King that you represent. If we just go and we try to play this undercover Christian little game, then we're not really being ambassadors, because ambassadors are proud of the country that they come from. They're as representatives of the country that they're coming from. They put their banner on display. They let the trumpets be blown. This is where I'm from. I'm with the kingdom of God. And we get to rejoice in that. We get to be proud of the place that we're from because we've been reconciled. We've been made new. This is now who we are. We are ambassadors. So don't take this lightly. If I am unto the world what the kingdom of God is all about, and I'm representing that, and I'm representing my King, the Most High God, I better be reconciled to the Lord. I better be active in knowing the truth and sharing the truth. Malachi 2:7 says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We have been made priests in his kingdom, and being ambassadors, we should have the truth within us, and we should have the truth on our lips, actively proclaiming this. Amen. Point number four. You are his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is what we were just singing about, right? This is the verse that transformed my life. This is the passage that let me know who it is that God has made me to be. I remember freshman year of college, laid out before the Lord, saying, God, who am I? You've called me into your kingdom, God, who am I? And I'm reading through the word, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, did you just abandon me? Did you save me and then abandon me? I had a misconception that salvation was the end goal, not the starting line. And so I thought God had abandoned me through the race. Reality had a different picture. Instead, he said that he who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in him. I already shared a little bit of my testimony with you. I grew up hurt. I grew up hurtful. I knew my sin and I felt like a sinner. Nobody had taught this to me. For me, it was taught, you're saved and now just go and do good things. And it was wrong. At least that's what I had heard. It wasn't communicated clearly that my identity was transformed and I was made new. I was made righteous in God. I understood that he made me holy, but I thought that as I committed unholy, that I would then be unholy. I didn't understand the faithfulness of our God. You see, Jesus, he took my old and he crucified it. It is now dead that I might be able to put on now the righteousness of God. We often struggle with the idea that I'm still a sinner because we see our sin. We remember our sin. We feel bad about our sin. Here's the reality, though. If Jesus has made me to be the righteousness of God, here I am, the righteousness of God, and sin comes and enters in, but Jesus took that sin and he killed that sin, what remains? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God remains for you. This is the identity that you get to have. This is the identity that has been given to us today. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. You see why this would change my life? Do you see how this could change your life? When you understand your identity in Christ, it becomes much easier to move forward in doing the things that God has called for you to do. When you understand that Jesus is Lord and he's not just a mean God trying to lord himself over you in a I'm disappointed, just fix yourself kind of way. When you understand that reality and you see that God is a good God and a kind God that has established you in his righteousness, you can move forward in boldness. You can move forward understanding that what really matters is your identity in Christ and not concerning with the identity of those that they're telling you. You see, because others don't see the work that the Lord is doing in my heart personally. Others don't get to see that. That's something that God is working in and through me, and now I get to move forward in boldness knowing that God is coming alongside me, that God's got my back. He's leading me. He's established his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I can now move forward in all boldness. I can move forward in all confidence. I can see temptation and say no to temptation because I'm a new creation in Christ. Beforehand, I had no choice. I had to give myself over to that sin, but now that I am made new, I can give myself to righteousness. That is now the pole of where my spirit goes. My spirit does not hunger for sin any longer. My flesh does. My spirit has been made new. It hungers for righteousness, and I can walk in that because God has established me as his righteousness. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm no longer the old man. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer enslaved to this world. I'm no longer what I once was. And you know what? If you're in Christ Jesus, then so the same is true for you. Amen. I am who God has declared me to be. I am his righteousness. I am new. I am reconciled. I am an ambassador. I am his.